hear Revelation, you'll have to wait another 2 weeks because next week's our Thanksgiving service. And so reminder, next Thursday night we will have a little over an hour service, probably about 1 hour. We'll be out a little early. We're going to have a little reception time like we always do. If you haven't been to one of our little Thanksgiving celebrations, it'll be just a little different than a normal Wednesday night. And then the next week we'll be back on with our final installment of Revelation, chapter 22. So we'll get there. And so land that plane. That'll be exciting. So it's good to have you guys tonight. And so what will we be doing? Well, you may have seen our brother Lee Carter is here, and Heather, or they snuck into town, and they're sneaking out of town pretty quick. So I really appreciate you taking time to stop by HBF because there's like a lot of churches here in the metro. So we're blessed to have them tonight. And Lee and Heather are attending to some family business while they're back, and they're taking some time out to. Well, Lee's taking time to be with us. Heather, she doesn't like us. So, no, I'm just kidding. No, she was planning on being here tonight, but the family business called her away. So we got almost the better half. So, you know, but we're glad that, God brought Lee in tonight. So, with that, Lee, I'm going to just, before he comes up, actually, I want to remind you to continue to pray for, what's going on. In the DR with, we sent a couple teams now, and then you just had a big discipleship conference, or wanted to have a big discipleship conference, and really discipleship is the key. It's a key to all churches. If you're going to do the mission of God, you got to do discipleship. So tonight at the end of service, we'll have time to pray. So Lee will give us things to pray about. But one of the things I want to remind everybody to do is make sure that we're praying, for Lee, and then he's going to give us another couple things to pray about. But I want to make sure we're praying for the disciples, because God is seeing people saved and discipled. And he's going to be working with, just like Jesus. He had, you know, a lot of people to minister to, but there's really only 12. Those out of the 70 came those 12 key men, and, of course, then the three. And then John's the only one that went to the cross. And so that's how it works. So he needs to see disciples, and he needs to see that ministry go forward in faith. And I appreciate your faith, Lee. He's gone through a lot of difficult times, as all missionaries do, and persevered. And how many years has it been since you started in Dominican? 2020. So 5 years ago. Did you speak Spanish before that? Poquito. So if you've been down there, it's amazing how much Spanish Lee can speak. So that's, I don't want to say how old he is, but he's my age. So it's not normal to pick up a language that easily once you get past your 30s. So it's really a gift that God has given you, brother. And he's doing a great work down there. So, brother, come on up and preach to us. Give him some love. And thank you for being here with us tonight, bro.
Oh, boy, I love you.
Sorry to leave you so much.
Now, you need to remember, I am not Pastor Hedges. You have been entrusted with and blessed with, I'm not just saying this because he's sitting here either, I'd say it if he wasn't sitting here, an incredible man of God. He loves the Word, and John 1 defines who the Word is. Because the Word's not a what, the Word's a who. He loves Jesus. Jesus loves him. And he is faithful. And so he is, I count him my friend. And he's incredible with the Word of God. And so I would beg your patience as I attempt to deliver the Word of God tonight. And please remember, listen to him, not me. Listen to God, not me. Okay? Now, there is one thing that I would argue that I'm better at than Pastor Hedges. And I've talked about this publicly with some of the teams that came down before, actually. I said we should do a fundraiser for missions and have a dance-off. How many of you are aware that Pastor Hedges can break dance? Go ahead and raise up your hand. Yeah. Well, I am more than willing to call him onto the carpet, so to speak. And so you guys put it together and I'll show up for it. But no, seriously though, it's a blessing. There's no place I'd rather be than getting to share the word of God here tonight. So thank you for the opportunity and the honor and the privilege. I'm going to pray one more time. It's because I need extra prayer. I never want to mess up the word of God. And I want him preaching, not me. All right. So let's go to the Lord one more time. We're going to be in Mark 5 tonight. We're going to be looking at verses 21 through 34. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We thank you for who you are. You're amazing, obviously. You're God. We don't have words sufficient. I don't think we have words sufficient to be able to praise you the way you deserve to be praised. You are holy and pure, and that holiness and purity is beyond even my imagination of what that is. You are steadfast in your righteousness. You are love. It's not something you do. It's just, it's who you are. You can't help but it to permeate from your presence because you define it. And Lord, tonight we know your desire clearly is for us to grow in your word and not just in our head. You want us to grow in our relationship with you so that everywhere we go, people see you. That is our desire tonight. Just mold us a little more that our image that we bear would be that of you and not of us. We love you, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. And so, Mark 5. We're going to start in 21. Our subject matter will be 25 through 34, but I feel we really should start in 21 because it gives you a little bit of the scene. So actually I'm going to cheat. I'm going to go to 19 because I love that scene too. So Jesus has just healed the demonic man who was full of the legion, and he has just went back to the boat. And he's getting ready to leave. And the demonic man, who's now no longer demonic, but a new person in Christ, literally, completely new, not possessed anymore, is seeking to go with him. He's looking forward to getting in the boat and following Christ everywhere. And Jesus tells him no. And he sends him to Decapolis, which the name Decapolis represents 10 cities. And so this guy has no training. He has no Bible college. I'm not saying don't get training, and I'm not saying don't go to Bible college. But we need to face the reality that once you have Jesus, once you've accepted Jesus for who he is, once Jesus has performed the miracle of new life in you, you have everything you need to be able to go into 10 cities and share your testimony and share the testimony of what Jesus has done in your life. And have an incredible impact. One person, 10 cities. And it's a whole nother message, but I love the word of God. So I'm going to ramble for a second. And so 10 cities, the next time you see Jesus go back into that guy's area, by the way, after that, there's more than 4,000 people sitting there ready to hear the word of God from Jesus. Ready to hear him. First thing they did was they brought somebody who needed to be healed to the shore the next time Jesus returned to that area. Because they had heard. Because the man was faithful when Jesus said, hey, go to Decapolis. Amen? We need to be faithful, right? So your Decapolis would be what? Harrisonville is one. That's just one. Don't give me the, yeah, but back then they were closer. Uh-uh. It's just as close for us. We have cars. Right? Amen? And so we're coming out of that. Jesus gets in the boat. He tells him, no, go back to Decapolis. Jesus goes to the other side. He gets out of the boat. All right? And so let's pick it up here in verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogues, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet. And besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that everybody sitting here right now has heard this passage before. You have heard the story about the lady who touched the garment of Jesus. So here's what I want you to do tonight. I want you to take it and set it over here. All the things you've heard before. And I want you to listen to Jesus new tonight. Don't go through this and go, yeah, I've heard this. That's never a way to listen to the Word of God. Because He wants to pour something new into us every time we're in His Word. Okay? So here we go. All right? And a certain woman, which had an issue of the blood, 12 years. How many years? Number 12 is pretty popular in the Word of God. It's used consistently throughout Scripture. Right? It's not just a coincidence that this was 12 years, because the Bible, every word's there for a purpose. Right? So 12, you know, how many tribes were there? 12. How many apostles? 12. So you see the word 12 all through Scripture. I'm just throwing out a couple examples because we definitely don't have time to break all that down tonight. All right? But I want you to know it's not a coincidence or an accident that He uses the number 12. We're going to see something kind of cool about that through this passage tonight. And so 12 years she had an issue of blood and had suffered many things of many physicians. Anybody ever suffered anything from a physician? Okay, you don't have to do it. I'll do it. Okay? Yeah, because they call it medical what? Practice. I give my wife a hard time about this all the time. She's a nurse practitioner. Could have been a doctor, but we decided to stop it there, right? They practice. It's a practice. What was the same thing back then? But for 12 years, issue of the blood, and she suffered many things from the physicians and had spent all that she had, not part of what she had, not three-fourths of what she had, all that she had. Right? I know some of us have been there before also when it comes to medical care and tough circumstances. And we've spent all that we had. And it's just don't look past any word. That's the point I'm trying to make as we walk through this, all right? Issue of the blood, 12 years, suffered many things, many physicians, spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood, notice it says fountain, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And you know it was Peter. Okay, I'm adding a name in there. It could have been any of them, but my money's on Peter. Can you just see it? What's the street look like right now? In this event, when this took place, what did the street look like? Packed. Somebody said packed. Okay, give me a little more details. Taco Bell was packed. It's a little different than this street. Give me a little more details. Come on, talk to me. multitude of people converged. You ever walked? Has anybody been to downtown Crown Center for the lighting ceremony? Have you ever done it from the street level, not a parking garage, but actually down on the street level? What's it like? Crowded. If you walk down the street, what happens? You touch people. You're shoulder to shoulder bumping into people because people are everywhere. Everywhere. Right? This street is packed. Why is it packed? Jesus is there. So the disciples are trying to make a way for Jesus to walk through this crowd. Darius is probably a little bit ahead because it's his daughter, right? Right? It's his daughter. Yes, no, go jump in a lake. Okay. It's his daughter. So they're going through this horrifically crowded street. The scene would be impossible. You'd look at the street and say, there ain't no way you're getting down this street. Right? There's streets like that in the Dominican. I went to visit somebody in jail the other day in the DR. I was in my car. Actually, no, I was on my motorcycle. And I looked up ahead at the street, and I remember having the thought, there ain't no way. And I was on a motorcycle. And a motorcycle is the key to making it through traffic in the Dominican. Okay? And it was crazy crowded. Like, drive down the street, and I don't know how you're going to do it without hitting somebody's mirrors, bumping into something. There's no way you're going to get from A to B without something touching your car. This street is packed out. It's crowded. People are shoulder to shoulder, elbow to elbow, bumping into one another. So now, if you close your eyes and you think about that, and you're looking at that, and Jesus says, who touched me? And you're the disciples. You can understand why they would respond with that. What do you mean, who touched you? Everybody touched you. Because what were the people trying to do, I'm sure, as Jesus walked down the street? Touch him. And he says, who touched me? There's probably 30 people that touched him in like the last second and a half. And he says, who touched me? He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Who was he looking for? So why did he say, who touched me? We're going to talk about that. Right? So he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him. She started where? Behind. Came and fell down where again? Before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Okay? All right, so let's have some fun with this passage. You guys ready to have some fun? We haven't even started yet. You guys ready to have some fun? I got one yes sir and two uh-huhs. Okay? Do we need more coffee? Okay. Always, right? I'll take more. So her condition, the condition of an issue of the blood. It's likely that this was a chronic hemorrhaging. It called it a fountain, right? What does a fountain do? Runs, flows, right? If the fountain works, you see evidence of water moving. Correct? Downtown, Crown Center. If the fountain is working, there's water flowing. Right? This is a fountain. She has blood loss happening. This is happening. How long has it been happening? 12 years. According to Leviticus, in chapter 15, verse 25 through 27, such a woman was ceremonial unclean. Ceremonially unclean. If a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, 12 what? Years. All the days of the issue, how many of the days? All the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation. She shall be unclean. How long has she been publicly proclaimed to be unclean? 12 years, you guys. 12 years. Listen to 26 and 27. Every bed whereon she lieth, all the days of her issue, which was how many years? Shall be under her as the bed of her separation. And whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean. How would that make you feel? How would you feel? You're not only having a problem with your blood. You're not only personally struggling physically. You're weak because you're losing what? 12 years of that kind of weakness. Not only are you unclean, but the bed, the chair, anything you touch is seen as unclean. That's a lot. That's a lot to take in. As the uncleanness of her separation, and whosoever toucheth those things. So your friend comes over to help you clean up. You've been going through this for 12 years. You got some people who love you and they're trying to minister to you. And so under the Levitical law, they come over and they help. But what happens the moment they grab those bed sheets? Now they're unclean. What happens when they go to clean up the chair? They're unclean. What happens if they hug you? What if they touch your hand? How'd that make you feel? Where would you be mentally at this point? And so this is 12 years of her life. And whosoever toucheth those things shall be unclean and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. Even if they cleaned up, even if they took a bath, washed up, they were deemed as unclean until the night. How'd that make you feel? How eager would you be to touch anybody? How would you feel about that? Because you know if you touch somebody, they're done for the day. There ain't nothing they can do. They can't work. They can't go out anywhere publicly. They would be under the Levitical law for uncleanness. This, are we getting a good picture of this woman's life for 12 years? An outcast. Deemed unclean. Now she wasn't a leper. What did lepers have to do when they walked around? What did they have to announce? Unclean, unclean. But she was labeled the same way. Unclean. She went to all the doctors. They couldn't do anything. The fountain continued to flow of her issue of the blood. And it was the issue of the blood that made her unclean. Correct? Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all are biblically, which is truth, all of humanity without the blood of Christ are unclean. Doesn't matter how many times they helped the person across the street that they needed to help. Doesn't matter how many times they gave money to people to help them, donated food, donated clothes, brought them into their home to give them shelter. None of that changes the blood. And truth be told, guilty by association, if somebody went into her house to help her, they were now unclean publicly according to the world. Right? Yes? No? Yeah. So somebody without Christ in the eyes of God is unclean. Doctors can't help them. There's no solutions in the world for it. You can give all the money in the world you want to give, and you can't buy your way into heaven. You can't buy your way. I really don't like that phrase. I like this phrase better. You can't buy your way into a relationship with Christ. There's no way of doing that. There's no healing out there that'll do that in the world. You can look high and low, search everywhere. You can give your all and spend your all, and you're going to end up in the same position as this lady, knowing you're unclean and nobody can fix it, not even you. Hi. Why aren't we smiling? Hey, do you have Christ? Look, tonight, there's two things. Well, I ain't even close to being done, but there's two things. If you don't have Him, if you have not received Christ as your Savior, if you have not accepted Him as your Savior, you are unclean. Period. Tonight's the night. Tonight's the night. Look, I was in church for 2 years and part of 9 different ministries and unclean. On my way to hell. If you don't have Him, tonight's the night. If you do have Him, we need to learn how to represent Him better through this passage. Amen? So whichever set of eyes you need to have on tonight, be looking through those glasses. Okay? You know you. You know whether you have a relationship with Christ or not. You know whether you've called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. If you have not, those are the glasses you need to put on tonight, because you're wearing them whether you like it or not. Okay? And I mean that in love. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't say that. But if you have Him, you need to put on the glasses of, how do I help people in her position? Okay? So, imagine, she could not worship in the temple. She couldn't touch others or be touched without transmitting uncleanness. Social isolation. 12 years of exclusion. No participation in community events or life. She was impoverished from medical expenses. And she had physical weakness from blood loss. A fountain of blood is a fountain of blood no matter how you slice it. Okay? She is not in a good position. She represents, in this stage, humanity's defilement. Okay? That's what we've been talking about. Uncleanness. Right? How did she approach God? From behind. So hopeless condition. 12 years. But what does verse 27 say? When she had heard of Jesus. Heard of Jesus. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing of the Word of God. And who's the Word of God? Jesus. So when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press. Again, the crowds being described there. But how would have she done that? Everybody around her knew she was unclean. Community knew she was unclean. How'd she do that? She knew, man, if she touched somebody, they were unclean. Think about the planning. Think about that moment and the intensity of the thoughtful carefulness she would have had. She's unclean. How big of a step is it for her to reach through and touch the garments of Christ? Why was she afraid and concerned at this point? She knew he was holy. If she hadn't known that, if she didn't believe that he was holy and the Son of God, and she didn't believe that he was God and he had the ability to heal, she wouldn't have been there. She had heard of Jesus. She had heard of his reputation. What is it when you share your testimony? What do people hear? They hear of Jesus. They should. And they hear of what? His personal impact in your life. The miracle that he has done. At least one in the salvation. Amen? Amen? Come on, let's get fired up. Amen? Okay, we'll try this side. Amen? A little bit better. All right? There's more coffee in the... No. All right? Come on now. This is the part where it starts getting good. She had heard of Jesus. How? The window opened up from heaven and an angel yelled it down to her. How did she hear? Someone told her. How did you hear? Someone told you. How are the people who are in her current condition spiritually right now gonna hear? Don't you dare say someone tell them. You better say I'm gonna tell them. Wow, it got quiet. Come on. Yeah, I know I'm kinda mean sometimes and my wife's not here, so I'm probably a little meaner than normal. Right? You gotta tell them. You gotta tell them. Not somebody, you. You gotta tell them. She had heard of Jesus. Her faith was internal, right? It was internal before it was external. She said within herself, if I may what? Touch but his clothes. Oh, if I could only figure out how to accept Jesus. Oh, if I could only figure out how to be a Christian. It was what a lot of people call it. Right? Depends on where you're at, what country you're in. The word Christian means all kinds of things. If I could only be a Christian. Look, there's people all over Harrisonville wondering that. I guarantee it. There's people all over Belton wondering that. And Raymore. And Peculiar. And even in Garden City. There's people all over wanting to know. And all we got to do is tell them. Her faith was internal, and then it became external. Press behind. Struggle. It was a struggle to get through that, to be able to touch his garment. There's risk involved. There's humility involved. She came from behind. She didn't show up demanding. She came behind, believing in humility. Amen? I mean, pressed, she came from behind, right? I love the next part. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. She saw the impact of Christ immediately. What happened to the blood issue? It dried up. She wasn't bleeding no more, guys. It shut off. Straightway. Immediately. It shut off. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Do you remember when you got saved? Man, I remember. I got saved. I accepted Christ as my Savior. And I was, look, I was a professional liar. I was good at it. Right? And I remember the next day, some people would categorize this as guys being guys, but it don't change the fact that it's lying. And so I'm standing there with a group of guys and we're talking about cars. And this guy's talking about his car and his car is amazing. And I had a beater at that time. But I liked my beater. And he's talking about how good his car is. And I remember in my head, man, I'm going to have some fun with this guy. And I started talking about my car and I was like, man, my car and something happened in the first time in my life had never happened to me before. And I thought everybody else heard it. It was so loud. Holy Spirit said, you've accepted Christ. Lie no more. You got no business doing that anymore. I was getting ready to tell this guy how much better my car was than his, which was a flat out lie. Holy Spirit was like, no, that's how it started. No. And I'm like, I'm wondering if anybody else heard it because it was so loud in my head. That's the Holy Spirit. I knew. I knew based on scripture when I got saved the day before. I knew what the Word of God said. I'd been in church for 2 years. I was leading people to Christ on bus visitation and on my way to hell. I knew what the scripture said. The next day, that's the first time, Pastor, that I had ever heard the Holy Spirit. And man, he was loud. It's the first time I recognized it anyway, for what it was. And it scared me. I was like, man, the word is true. I got the Holy Spirit in me. Uh-oh. You know, I was thankful for it, though, at the same time. Because God cared. And he didn't want me doing that no more. Something so simple as talking about my car being better than somebody else's when it wasn't. So, she knew there was an immediate transformation, straightway. She felt in her body that she was healed. The healing was both instantaneous and experiential. I'm sorry, I just went Spanish on you. Outside. Okay? It was immediate. She knew it, and it was, you could see it. Christ's power transcends ritual or distance. Faith is real. Faith is real and it takes you to the cross. After you get saved, you're supposed to walk by faith, but in whose faith? The faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not yours. Please don't walk in your faith after you get saved because you're going to trip and fall. Walk in His because His is perfect. Okay? What will grow after you get saved is your trust in the Word of God. Peter got out of the boat. How? Did he see the Spirit on the water and jump out of the boat and start walking with it? He thought it was a spirit. No, he waited until Jesus said, come. He waited for the word of God to tell him to what? Come on, get out of the boat. It was obedience based in a trust of the word of God. Amen? Amen? And so, she has been healed. She knows she's been healed. You can see it. She knows it inwardly and you can see it outwardly because the fountain dried up. Verse 30. I'm sorry. Scripture makes me just giddy. And Jesus immediately knowing who? Jesus immediately knowing. What happens when you get saved? Jesus immediately knows. Correct? Where's your name? Written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And what are the angels doing before the throne of God when you get saved? Rejoicing. It's known immediately because you just entered into the family of God. Your blood has changed. Your bloodline has changed. I am a dad of two. I am blessed. I do not know how this happened. I have like five grandkids and another one on the way. Happened quick. One day, I'm going to physically die. I will not walk on the earth no more. At that point, my body will be in a grave and I'll be with Jesus. You know what won't change? I still have two kids and grandkids. Why? Why will that not change? How will that not change, even if I'm dead? Because somebody said it. Because of the blood. Because of the bloodline, right? When you accept Christ as your Savior, can that ever change? No. Why? What's it come back to? The blood of Christ. You enter into the family of God. Nothing can change that. It's permanent. All right? And it's based on the blood. Jesus knew immediately. He turns around. He says, who touched me? He's not doing that for his sake. Well, I guess you could kind of say it was for his sake, but who touched my clothes? He knew who it was. He knew everything. He knew people's thoughts, right? His disciples said to him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, what happened? Fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, so she ran the other way. She fled the scene and tried to get away from Jesus as far as she could go, right? No. What happened? She fell before Jesus Christ publicly. Everybody now knew. What do you think they were thinking? Unclean woman. She just touched Jesus. What do you think happened to the people that were standing close to Jesus at that moment? Come on, people are people, right? They have been raised and taught these rules, these laws, guys. This wasn't they might know. No, this is what they were taught. This was part of their culture. If you're a Dominican and I say we're starting at 8, you're going to show up at 8:30. Not because they like being late. It's part of their culture. If you ask a Dominican on the street if they're Christian, half of them are going to tell you they used to be. And that makes no... The first time one of them said that to me, I looked at Johnny, my son-in-law, like, what? How can you... I used to be a Christian. Well, I was defining it the way the Bible does, and they weren't. I used to be a Christian means I used to go to church. So if you go to church, you're a Christian. You don't go to church, you're not a Christian. Don't matter the name above the door either, by the way. It could be anything. And I mean anything. And they categorize it in a public conversation as you're Christian because you go to a church. So if you're religious in any way at all, you're a Christian. Well, that's not what the Bible says, right? So what did people do? People are people. They'd been taught their whole life. As soon as it was publicly known that she had touched the garment of Jesus, according to Levitical law, what would have the people said? Jesus was now what? Do you see what's at stake? Do you see what's happening? 12 tribes represented what? Government, right? God's way of governing, correct? He's setting up his government. Why did he have to go there? What was ending and what was starting? Is the end of man's way and, okay, God's like, here we go. Man depleted every option and God said, here, let me help you. Right? Let's do this my way. 12 apostles represented what? What was going to happen? A transition from law to what? Grace. Okay? You can keep going through 12 and you're always going to come up with the same thing. 12 angels in Revelations, right, Pastor? You've been teaching about Revelation, right? Talks about there being 12 angels. How many trumpets? How many gates? Number 12 is important. 12 years was representing what? She was at the end of her humanity, of her hope of humanity. She had no other hope. There was nothing else she could do. 12 years and what? Saved by grace. Right? The grace of Jesus Christ. You know, Jairus' daughter, this is fun. Are we having fun? I'm jumping ahead. How old was she?
12.
I got goosebumps everywhere, Pastor. She's 12. Because it represented what? A new life. He raised her from the what? Dead. Death to life. Salvation represents death to life. We're seeing it all over in this passage. Amen? So everybody there is going, uh-oh, Jesus is now unclean. Can you imagine the disciples and what they were thinking? Uh-oh, what's he going to do now? Right? He didn't shy away from publicly declaring that this unclean woman had touched his garment. He didn't hide it. She confessed him publicly, and then what did he do? This is so beautiful. Jesus called her what? Daughter. Daughter. That means she's what? In the family of God. That means she's what? Clean. Made whole. Isn't that incredible? Don't take that for granted. That's incredible. That's a miracle. She was made whole. He called her daughter. And how? Thy faith hath made thee whole. Incredible, isn't it? Fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. What did he just publicly proclaim her to be? Clean. He made sure everybody knew she was now clean. Nobody had to check it out and verify. Jesus just said it. That settles it. Amen? She's been made clean. Clean. Have you accepted Christ? Does he call you son? Does he call you daughter? Have you stepped into the family of God? Are you clean and made whole? Just like she was? She touched him secretly, but testified what? Publicly. How do we do that? How do we do that? Baptism. What else? Share your testimony. Share your testimony. Right? It's a beautiful picture of a pattern we're supposed to be living and help others live out. Amen? Look. Jesus took that secretive touch and turned it into public restoration. Amen. She humbly fell before him, and the outcome was daughter. Daughter. She felt guilty. Do you understand? She felt guilty for what she'd just done. For 12 years, if she touched somebody, they were now unclean. So she's dealing with all that in her head, and then Jesus looks at her and says, daughter. I wish I could see it physically happening, because I'd love to see his facial expression. I'd love to be able to see the love in his eyes when he made eye contact with her and called her daughter. It's just phenomenal. This passage represents so much. There's so much in here. The law will never clean anything. It'll never fix anything. The law never fixed her blood issue, did it? All it did was categorize her. It never changed anything. The law in the Bible, does it fix sin? Just categorizes you, doesn't it? Just tells you, hey, here's who you are. Here's what the Bible says, here's who you are. The law will never accomplish anything beyond that. We need it, right? Gotta have it. It's what led me to the cross. Amen? But it'll never clean anything. There's so much that we can walk away from this passage with tonight. And don't just walk away from here going, the number 12 is important. Please don't do that. We need to know things like that. We're supposed to study the word to show thyself approved. Rightly what? Dividing. We're supposed to understand the scriptures. We're supposed to know how to study it. Okay? But if you're going to share this passage on the streets, 12 is the last thing you should be concerned about. Okay? She was defiled and she knew it. And I don't know a sinner out there that doesn't know they're defiled. I've never had one tell me with a straight face that they're sinless. And I've shared the gospel a lot. They just don't know what to do. And they need somebody to go, you know what? Jesus is the only way. You can be good as you want, but you can never fix your sin. Just accept him. So if you're sitting here tonight, you have the ability to go out there and show people who have exhausted all their resources, who have searched through drugs, alcohol, sexual temptations, family. They've put family on a pedestal. They've let their kids be their God sometimes. Sometimes it's athletics. It's money, jobs, education. They've exhausted their resources or in the process of it, looking for what will fill that void. And you've got it. And you can share it with them. And they want to hear. And man, the moment they do, look what's going to happen in their life. They'll be made whole. And they'll know it. Amen? Amen? Thank you for letting me share tonight, Pastor.
All right. That's a good word. I needed to hear that. A lot to process there as we think about, you know, practically, that's so good. We can actually go out tonight and use that, and tomorrow. And there's some cool stories of just changed lives lately. A lot of people have been coming to faith, and we've been seeing a lot of young people getting saved and older people. Anita just led her mom to Christ. That was a beautiful testimony. And at 88 years old, 87 years old. So, man, that's amazing. So important. And I liked what you said about, you know, being in church for 2 years. And I was thinking about what he said. You know, you have those three eyes, right? You have someone that was, I had to alliterate it because I'm just who I am. But anyway, isolated, impoverished, because she couldn't, she was unclean, right? And so she was, you know, not able to get stuff. And then she was also, I don't have my eyeglasses on. So she's impotent, right? No power. And so, so she was isolated and impoverished and impotent, and she has no power. You know, and a lot of sinners know that they're lost, like Brother Lee says. But at the same time, the only thing that keeps us from acknowledging that is the fact that we're liars. And the people we lie to the most is ourself. And so there are people that are that will not acknowledge. I can remember those days. You remember telling somebody? I remember Roger Bunny. I'll never forget this. Roger Bunny, a friend of mine. He's still a friend of mine. I remember telling him I was saved. And I was lying. I was a liar. But you know, you when you witness to somebody, a lot of times they'll say, well, I'm a good person. You know, I go to church. And really, it's like Genesis 3, right? They're just covering up. They're putting the fig leaves on because they know they're sinners. And they're just trying to cover up with, that's called self-righteousness. And, the only way to deal with self-righteousness is admit that we're unrighteous, that we're unclean, and we need Jesus as Lord and Savior. And what a good message that is to remind us. And then I like the way you twisted it, or not twisted it, but flipped it around. Not twisted, that's the wrong word. How you shifted that, you know, to who should go out and win people? Well, Bob or Brother Lee, right? No, I got to take that personally and go out and share the gospel. So who does God have in your path? Who do you know that's isolated, impoverished, and impotent, you know? Here in a minute, we're going to pray. We're going to go over the prayer list. A lot of the people on our prayer list are in that situation. They're in isolation. Maybe they're alone. A lot of people today feel, with all the social media and all the technology, people feel more alone than ever because real relationships are harder and harder to come by. And people are just bombarded with information. And so authentic relationships are hard to come by. And what better opportunities do we have to just walk into people's world with truth and love, meet them where they're at, allow the gospel to change them. What a good thing to be about. So, let's be about that business. Before we jump into our prayer list, what do we need to pray for you about, brother?
Okay. So this coming up year, this first quarter is going to be insane. We had a team, a week ago. Literally the day before we came to the States, there was a team that left. And what we did with that team is on Saturday, we established 4 of the 6 new groups that we're going to have in the Valiente area. I don't know if you remember, I've shown on several times a chart that shows a map of Valiente in 18 different sections. Well, we're establishing 4 new groups and 2 more by the end of the first quarter. And so literally in Africa, they would call them preaching points, where you're going to a place on Tuesday. Every Tuesday, you go to this spot and you share the word of God. Well, I have outfitted the SUV I have with a speaker in the back, and we can go anywhere we want, stop, pray, and praise and worship God with music, which Latino is huge on in the Dominican. They love that. So people gather up to praise and worship and sing songs. We do a little drama, and then we share the gospel. So that's what we did on Saturday in 4 areas where we have people who live there who have either completed or almost done with their first phase of discipleship. And so these people, it's going to be their home group. It's going to be on Tuesdays. People meet at this one. On Wednesdays, people meet at this one. Thursdays, they meet at this one. So we're establishing 6 groups by the end of the first quarter. I need prayer for longevity and strength. So those, each individuals won't be out there every day, but literally for 3 months straight, in keeping everything going that's currently going and establishing new growth, I will not be stopping for 3 months straight. I will be preaching somewhere every day. And so, and assisting others as they grow in that process. That's exciting. So
you wonder what do missionaries do? David and I talk about this from time to time, and that's what they're doing. That's what missionaries should be doing. But I mean, I appreciate you, doing it. Not every missionary gets out and beats the bushes like that. And, that's important because, it's a key neighborhood. And, when I say neighborhood, it's a very densely populated, area.
40,000 people in that area.
40,000 people. How many roughly square miles you think or feet?
Not
feet.
Oh, it's
miles.
Not, I don't know, a mile.
Yes, a mile. Wow. That's intense. 40,000 people in a square mile.
Yeah.
That's a lot of density.
And
so,
one of the areas we're going into, you would think if I blindfolded you, you got off the plane and I drove you straight there, you'd think you were in Africa. Mm. It's bush and it's full of Haitians.
Oh.
And, there's some Dominicans there, but yeah. I mean, we've got everything from some paved streets to.
Let's pray for a Miles Cheadle. That's how he got back to Kenya. Maybe God will lead a Haitian immigrant / refugee, whatever they are, get him saved and send him back. So Haitians, if you know, that's like a big time cross cultural ministry. Dominicans and Haitians are oil and water. And
yep.
So, that's a big deal.
I'm discipling one right now.
Praise the Lord.
And yeah. He is quadlingual.
And, you got hit a good thing too. Many of you may, some of you know, not all of you know that, Lee and Heather have a missionary to Haiti with them.
Yep.
And so John is with them and, he can speak Creole and all that, can't he, a little bit?
He can listen to it.
He can listen.
Okay. He can tell me what they're saying.
Yeah. So but that's good because he's lived in Haiti and gone through a lot of
ministry
there.
We've got four teens right now that can teach and preach.
Oh, praise the Lord.
And one of them knows Creole and knows Spanish and is learning English.
All right.
So he can translate. It's crazy what God's doing.
So I'm going to summarize some things from this discussion. Here's what we need to pray then. We need to pray for, as they go to the preaching points. So as they go to the preaching points, we need God to bring the key people, at those key locations to hear the key message that is going to be preached for 3 months. And then we need God to bring key disciples so they can establish key churches and basically see God's, influence in that section of the Dominican there. And so
first quarter, we're transitioning into the homes with the people that have been consistent and we will begin them in the process of discipleship.
Awesome.
And so, yeah,
that's exciting. And I love it. And you got a plan, and you're getting after it. So, man, guys, that's exciting what God's doing there. So, praise the Lord. So, when we go to break, we can. That's another thing we can do right now is pray for this initiative, and join in. So it's as if we're there because we're going in
yes.
prayer. And
yep.
It's important that we, like Aaron and her, lift up Moses' hands, and that Jesus goes forth and wins that battle. Amen.
And through Google Maps, you can prayer walk the area.
That's good.
Because I've sent it out to the group that is here, our prayer group. You literally have, if you click on it, you can see the map. You can prayer walk the street without being there.
All right. Anyone in here on the prayer team? All right, so we got good prayer team folks right here. Awesome. Make sure you get with Lee tonight before you leave, too. Do you have to leave to go see
her? No, I can spend.
He's in the middle of a plumbing project, so he doesn't have to get home tonight. But all right. Yes, sir.
So, Lee Carter, I just want to say thank you, brother. I spent 13 years in this church serving mine, I think, and I was saying, 3 years ago, 24 next April.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I remember.
And, man, I came in just today and saw you. I was like, Lord, you're so awesome. It's so good. So I just want to say thank you, sir.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, so let's get into the prayer update so we can get this. Not that we got to rush it, but I want to get to the praying, not just talking about it. Ryan Johnson is an update on him. This is